Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for 16 and pregnant. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Isabel Mora, Courtney Stewart, and Ed Bowling. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest 16 and pregnant news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi, everyone. I can't wait to talk about last night's episode and break it down for you. Before we get into it, I want to quickly mention Maria Menounos' book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life. It's in its third week on being on the New York Times bestseller list, which is wonderful. And I just want to remind everyone it's a great graduation gift for all the graduations coming up. So now let's get into the episode. But I do want to quickly mention we will have a special guest calling in later in the episode. Danielle herself from last night's episode will be calling in so we can ask her a few quick questions about what went down and what's next for her and her future. So, Ed, Isabel, thank you for joining me.
Hi.
Hello.
Before any of this, and I know I'm killing time because we want to get to Danielle, but for those of you guys who go on our website, you may know that some of the latest shows aren't up. That's because we just switched over to a new design, and so it's going to take us a little bit to get everything back up. But fear not. As always, there is no fear of not being able to get all the latest shows. You can get them on iTunes. You can listen live on ustream.tv/AfterBuzzTV. And, of course, for on the go, there's the Stitcher app. Download it, and you can listen to us there. That's all I got, Mari. Back to you.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Phil. So, Ed, Isabel, just first thoughts of Danielle and last night's episode.
You know, this episode was just, I enjoyed it, but Danielle, when she came on, I didn't have much thoughts for her. She didn't do anything for me. It was just kind of like, here we go with the 16-year-old, the typical 16-year-old, you know, that didn't have any sex ed education. I mean, just there was nothing.
I felt kind of like that too, but I think I would describe it as a little confused because
very confused. Yes,
it was like she was described in the introduction as this party girl, but she seemed really kind of just calm and not a party girl. She talked a little bit like it just didn't seem like she was a wild and crazy person at all, like it was described, and I think Isabel disagrees with me, but I also felt confused about the mom. I felt that the mom seemed so calm and so stable and supportive and like patient, and it just really, really confused me because I didn't see all of the drama and chaos that, you know, sort of that supposedly happened before the pregnancy. Did you see that, Mari?
Okay, well, let me give you guys my take on this. So we get this intro into Danielle. They claim she's a party girl who is failing out of school, and she went to move and live with her grandmother, met her boyfriend Jamie, and ended up getting pregnant. And you know how we talk about each episode what makes this girl different and why we think they chose this girl to feature?
Okay.
And I think the reason they chose Danielle is because her mom was 16 and pregnant as well. And this is what I found so heartbreaking, because right at the top of the episode, her mom says, I told you over and over how not to get pregnant. Yet she repeated down her same path, wasn't on birth control, didn't use protection, and now is following the same footsteps as her mother. What did you guys think of that, Isabel?
You know, I hated when they mentioned how her mom was 16 and she got pregnant at that age, too. I hate when they try to, oh, because you're 16 as well. It obviously your mom didn't do anything right and you didn't learn anything from that. I know that the mom being 16 and pregnant herself, I'm sure she brought it up a lot. I'm sure she tried to keep her daughter untracked. But it's a little... we'll leave that for later when we talk about her mom. But that was a part where I was just like, let it go. Your daughter's not you. And I don't think there was anything else that anyone could have done around that daughter, Danielle, to not make this happen.
Yeah. I felt that I kind of agree with you, Mari. It definitely carried with it the shock value. Like, oh, my God, the mom was 16 and now the daughter's 16 having a baby, too. It just kind of had that sort of... like when you hear something, some juicy gossip, it kind of had that impact on, it kind of had some shock value.
I think I was just taken aback, and I just felt so bad for Casey, her mother, because it sounded like she had ingrained it in her daughter's brain, how to use protection, what not to do, not to follow in her footsteps. She didn't glorify it, and... she ended up in the same position. And I think the major reason why, and I want to get your perspective on this, is she let her daughter move in with her grandmother. And she said, there was no parental supervision. I let my baby girl out of my hands.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about later in the episode the mother-daughter relationship, but I think that move, by letting her move to her grandmother's house, that sets a precedent, and she lost control over her daughter. So, and I know we don't see the drama and to the extent of her partying and failing out of school, but what do you think of letting her daughter move to her grandmother's house, 40 minutes away?
Well, apparently she had lost her daughter before she moved in with grandma, and that's why she was moving in. So I don't think this was, I'm losing my daughter, or I lost my daughter after I let her move in with grandma. No, she had lost control a while ago.
Right, yeah.
And that's why grandma stepped in.
Yes.
So it wasn't a situation, the girl never changed. She went from being a trouble or a party girl at mom's house to replacing that with a boyfriend. That was the only difference.
She was clearly... the whole time she was on camera, anytime she was talking about her mom, she was so resistant to accepting her mom's warnings, to accepting her mom's instructions. She's like, I don't want to be under her. I don't want to be doing things the way she's really, really resistant. I mean, she has this chip on her shoulder, it seems, that she wants to prove that, she can do this stuff without her mom's help. And that, to me, that's what happened. It's like... when she was describing the process of her and being, in the process of getting the birth control, it just seemed really sort of, lackadaisical. Like she said, I went there to request a birth control, and they gave me a test to see if I was pregnant or not, and I wasn't. And then I come back a week later, I was pregnant. Well, you're having sex. Great, you're going to get birth control, but you're obviously sexually active before you're getting it. And so it's all just a big deviation from everything her mom said. She doesn't want to follow. She wanted to prove that she can do the whole thing, her whole life on her own.
Really? I took it like it was her way of showing her mom, look, I know I'm pregnant now. I know you're worried that it's not going to work out. Let me show you that it's going to be different with me. Mm-hmm. Let me show you that, whatever you went through when you were pregnant with me, I'm going to try to overcome those.
Yeah, same. I think that fits, meaning she's saying that, I'm gonna be all right. Why do you think I can't do it? Why do you think that, that's why she wanted to move away from mom, to let her know, hey, look, mom, I can do it without you. So to me, everything that she was saying and doing in the show was kind of, all of it had to do with her wanting to be, to show proof that she can do this on her own. I just don't know why she had that desire so badly.
And let's talk about that, where she was going to live, because that was a big issue throughout the episode and proving she can do it on her own. So in the beginning, about 2 months out from the birth, her and Jamie thought that they would move into their own home. And this is where I was just watching this thinking, God, they're so young. They are so naive because they don't have the finances. And I just thought it was such a sad conversation when they were discussing, okay, I make $800 a month. What, we already have diapers and wipes. What else do we need? How long will that last us? And it was all, they had no clue. They had no idea. What did you think of that conversation?
Well, when it came with the wipes and diapers, no one has any clue. You don't know how much a baby's going to, I mean, there's no way to predict that. But the economy part, it was very, you know, just to know it's $800. It doesn't matter what we need. It's only $800. And we already know that $800 wasn't going to cover the rent.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it was when they were sitting there and they tried. I know MTV put this episode like, look, you're so young. You don't know what. No, not even grown-ups know how much diapers and wipes we're going to go through. But and you saw the frustration in her face, like you're supposed to have answers for me because I don't. So I was hoping you, Jamie, had answers for me.
Well, during that conversation, I was looking at it and I was thinking, you know what? He was this way a couple of times in the show. She was actually trying to do something very mature, and that is plan. And she was trying to make a plan, and she was writing numbers down. I mean, she was even, that's a budget she was going to make.
Right.
That is really, really mature of her. And he was resistant to planning, which is clearly an immature action.
Right.
And so at the same time, he might have been feeling a little bit like, you know.
It's all on him.
Well, yeah, that, and also the fact that she was the one that's doing all the initiating, all the mature stuff, and you know, he might have felt a little bit like, hey, wait a minute, I want to do something, so that might be why he resisted. But when it came to the, hold on, what was I going to say? Because I had a really good point and I just forgot it. But they did not know at all what to expect with how many wipes and how many diapers and all that stuff, and I think that part of what she needed him to do was to, at that moment, because she started to cry, was to say, yes, reassure her and say that, you know what, whatever, let's plan this right now. We'll break it down however you think. We'll do the best we can, and it's going to be okay.
But I don't think he did a bad job trying to do that, because he did, instead, you saw him getting frustrated and then,
yeah,
and then calm down and say, yeah, you know, it's okay, don't cry. I'm not trying to upset you. It's just, like you, I have no idea about this, but calm down. That was the first time that I looked at him and I said, oh, okay, this might be a nice guy too.
Well, yeah, he seemed like a good guy, but again, he, you know, he's got a lot to learn. He's young. And so, because he tried to comfort her in the way of, you know, if as you get older and you learn to communicate things, you learn not to tell a girl who's crying, oh, don't cry, I didn't mean to make you cry, you know, I wasn't trying to make you cry. That's not the point. The point is something else, you know.
And before we move on, do we remember why he lost his license? Was it because of DUI as well?
I didn't hear the reason.
I don't think it was because of DUI. They didn't mention, they just said that he did lose his license. Okay. But we can ask Danielle that.
Right, okay.
But let's talk about, so then they obviously, I guess it comes to the mature decision that they can't afford to move out on their own. So then they decide that after a week after the birth, they're going to move in with Jamie's dad because he doesn't have his license. So he can't drive to her mom's house and he can't drive to work from her mom's house. So to be closer to work, since he apparently decided not to pursue his high school education and not to go back to school.
Right, he had decided that before, right.
Which I thought that was incredibly questionable and not a good role model for his child, but they decide to move in with Jamie's dad. So what did you guys think about that decision? And I mean, we'll see obviously the struggle between the mom and that decision, but just what did you think of that decision? Is that right?
Well, I mean, that's a tough question whether it's right. I mean, what they were trying to do was they were obviously trying to somehow make start like a family type little model there. And there was only one income, and so they were going to go where the income was. And so that's, you know, there's some good things, good notions there,
right.
But there's some other things to consider too. I mean, they're 45 minutes away, and they don't have a car. But I remembered my point, and it still goes along with this, or my question. I felt that maybe on the part of MTV, things were a little bit disingenuous, meaning here we see this couple talking about their budget of $800, and at the same time, we know that the couples on the show are compensated. And so is it that the compensation doesn't come until, you know, after the show's over, or
it does,
you know, it comes.
It does. I mean, I've done some reality TV and you usually don't get paid till
Mari, do we know? I mean, because it felt like, well, why are they worried? Because there was a, in the last episode, I noticed that they didn't talk about money at all. You know, they just didn't even, it wasn't an issue at all. And I thought, okay, well, that's because the MTV is compensating them. And
no,
so,
no. Every episode you see a teenager working 2-3 jobs. I mean, Marcy was working 2-3 jobs.
Well, I'm talking about the last one where there was just the mom, and the mom was always at the boyfriend's house, and the young girl who had the baby, I forgot her name, but she was at home all day, every day. You know, she had her laptop, and she had a nice little car seat, and she had everything.
But she was in her own apartment.
Well, no, she was living with her mom.
Right, but I think in our last episode, they never even thought about moving out. So I don't think it was, you know, I think. But
right. In other words, money was not an issue.
I think that MTV doesn't discuss or bring up in the show the fact that they compensate them because the point of the show is, and we'll talk about this in News and Gossip, is the creator says she wants to show the daily struggles of these mothers. Right. And so one of the daily struggles of teenage moms is finances. So they want to show that and that reality. So I'm not sure when the money does kick in, and we can ask Danielle that. But if they wouldn't be representing and showing how a mother really struggles if they just talked about how the fact that they got paid.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but in regards to the whole move, you know what? It has to be. I don't think there's a right or wrong there. I mean, my heart went out for Danielle's mom, and you know, I was so impressed with how different she appeared on the show than based on, you know, what they said she was like before. It sounded like, you know, things were sort of out of control on both sides, but she seemed so stable, so supportive, so patient, and I really liked it. Like, I wanted her, you know, but the dad seemed like a nice guy too. It's just that, you know, you're in general, I think your heart goes towards that the baby should be with the women. We talked about that before, but you know, that's where I kind of wanted things to stay.
Well, I think we go back to the whole, you know, age situation here. If they were, I don't know, 21 and up, I don't think we would care where they move. But here we're talking about a 16-year-old moving in playing house with her boyfriend.
Yes.
That's a big deal. And that's where I think we all question and wonder, what should, you know, doesn't she stay with her mom or
But doesn't
move
the fact that
boyfriend?
She's like a mom, doesn't that like change the game? Because remember, when I was looking at her, I'm thinking, okay, they are a couple now and they have a baby and they're starting a family. So they should obviously be together if they can at all. But the mom, Danielle's mom brought up such a good point. She said, well, wait a minute. What mom lets their 16-year-old daughter go live with her boyfriend? She goes, I'd be a bad mom if I did that. And I'm thinking, I totally forgot about that part. Like, she's right. She's got her 16-year-old daughter here. And so how do you handle it? It's such a conflict.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when she said that, I went back to all the other episodes where the mom or the teenager is put in the middle of situations.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Thinking,
you did research?
Well, no,
that's
I was,
pretty good.
No,
pretty
I was
good.
Just thinking, you know, here we go again. Mom feels guilty because the 16-year-old daughter is pregnant. And again, please make me feel better and make me feel like I'm a good mom. And don't move in with your boyfriend. Stay here so I can at least show that. So
you're saying that you think the mom, that's selfish on the mom's part.
Yeah, it was a little, okay, it was just kind of like, okay, I know you want to make yourself feel better because there's all this guilt build up in her. As it, like, you know, my daughter got pregnant because I let her move in with grandma. My daughter is now moving in with her boyfriend. And I need to keep her from doing that. So at least I can say, well, I have her living with me now.
You're right, because I wrote something like that down too when I heard her say something like, do you realize how much it breaks my heart? And but really her point was, she said, when people see us, it's gonna they're gonna think
what will
I'm
people
a bad
think?
Yeah, but the thing is, like,
I wrote the same
she's,
exact
she's
thing.
Like concerned about how people see her, as opposed to more seems like the situation. Mari, did you notice that and have that same reaction?
I picked up on that same thing. She said, I don't, what are other people going to think? What are other moms going to think of my decision?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe it was a little selfish, but I just felt so bad for this mom. But like I was saying before, I think the fact that she let her daughter move in with her grandmother she now doesn't have a say in a situation like this because that precedent has already been set. So she has no say this second time around that she's saying, oh, I want to leave your home, because she already let her the first time around. And so that's where I think she lost control. But get into the actual her giving birth. But you can add any other points you want. But I just wanted to talk about her giving birth because there was one point that I just, again, thought she was so young and naive and so clueless. She's in the kitchen and she's saying, I have a lightning bolt pain over and over. Should I call the doctor? I mean, isn't that like a no-brainer?
No, it's not, because, again, I've been pregnant, and when you read the book, it says you'll have pains and it won't mean anything.
Yeah.
Don't bother calling, you know, unless the pain is bad or unless you have your bloody show, don't bother calling. So when you read those books or you hear from your mom and you say, Mom, I'm feeling a little discomfort, they always ask, well, how bad is it? Can you handle it? Yeah, it's not bad. Then you just stay home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bother. So no, I did see that and I just thought, yeah, this is normal. She's not supposed to know.
Right. Well, I like the fact you mentioned that. You know, you would call the mothers and the aunts and stuff in your family, the ones who have been pregnant, to see, hey, is this normal? And although she didn't immediately do that, she got to that really quick. She talked to her friends, and then everybody was like, yeah, you know, you should ask your mom.
I
should
ask my mom. But notice she mentioned it's gotten worse from the morning. It's bugging me a little more now.
It's,
and she said, maybe I should ask my mom now.
Yeah. First time around, I guess you wouldn't know, huh?
No. And I don't think if I was pregnant again, I would know. Trust me, you're never comfortable at when you're past 6-7 months, you know? So anything, you're just like, please let it be.
What about her description of it as a lightning bolt? Any truth to that?
Actually, yes.
I thought that was funny.
It's kind of like getting shocked. It's
kind of
like,
Mom, I have a lightning bolt in my pants. So what does that mean?
It's kind of like getting shocked. So, yeah, okay. It made sense.
Mari, we've got a sign from Phil asking us if now's a good time for us to try to incorporate Danielle onto the show. So you have that cue there.
Wonderful. Danielle, are you on the line with us?
No. Phil's asking us, is now a good time to go ahead and get that done?
No, we're literally going to dial her out. Our fans will listen to us.
Okay. Well,
dial
then, let's get into it. We can ask her about her relationship with Jamie while we're talking about it.
Yeah.
You guys can keep talking.
I was going to say,
okay.
Maybe we should.
Labor.
The beeps were so entertaining.
Labor was one of the worst I've seen on.
We lost Mari.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Mari? Oh, Phil. I think we lost Mari.
Well, hold on as I fix this technical problem.
Sure.
Danielle will probably be on the line.
Okay, that's fine with
me.
Hello, is that Danielle?
Yep.
Hi, Danielle. This is Ed Bowling and Isabel Mora on AfterBuzz TV.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being available. Now, our host, Mari Fagel, who is responsible for connecting up with you, she just accidentally dropped off the line, so it's a technical difficulty that we're fixing.
Okay.
but we did watch your show today, and we really wish you the best. We want to see everything work out great for you. So, how are things going?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, as far as me and Jamie, we're not together. We have our off and ons, but as of right now, we are not together. With my mom and dad just got a divorce, so my mom moved out, so I live with my dad now.
Oh, that's your mom and your stepdad.
Oh. Yeah, they got a divorce.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of change since the show, huh?
Yeah, a lot of change.
Oh my goodness. Now, how did it come about that that you are living with your stepdad? I mean, on the show today at least, we didn't really see too much of him. And your relationship with him, obviously it must be good.
Well, not really. My mom, she moved in with my grandma, and my grandma lives in like a one-bedroom place, so I'm not trying to
You're not trying to cram in there.
My child.
Right, right. Huh? You're trying to cram everybody in that one place then.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that. So I'd rather fight with my dad here instead of going and living with my mom and being all crammed.
Okay.
And Danielle, sorry, this is Isabel. Hi. How old is Jamie Jr. now?
Jamie Jr.?
Uh-huh.
I'm 7 months old.
Oh, wow.
Wow, brand new.
Yeah. He's huge.
Wow.
He weighs 21 pounds.
Okay, so Amari, are you back on with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Danielle.
Okay, Danielle, that's Mari. And just to, I don't know if you heard any of it, Danielle was nice enough to join the show as you requested. And she let us know that her and Jamie, although they've had their, on and off period, they're off right now. They're not together. Her mom and her stepdad have divorced, and she's now staying with her stepdad. Her mom moved in with her grandmother, and there's just a one bedroom small place, so there's not really room. And that's where we're at.
And now, Danielle, what kind of role does Jamie play in Jamie Jr.'s life right now?
Right now, he's actually not around. He's, I just actually went, because he lives 45 minutes away where I met him. And I just went there for 2 days with my friend because she lives out there. And he only came over one time. And that was only for 45 minutes. So he's not really around. I mean, we talk every once in a while, but as far as him being around all the time and calling to check on Jamie, that would be a negative.
Is he helping out with child support or anything around?
No, actually, I just called today. We have a court hearing coming up. So.
Okay, so you're pursuing all that stuff through the court system then?
Yeah, because I don't want him to be able to run off with Jamie Jr. and me not be able to do anything about it. So I'm going to go get it in paper, in writing.
Yep, that's what you need to protect that from that. You'd have to protect with that. Yep, that's exactly what you need. Okay.
And so we were talking before. Why doesn't Jamie have his license and why did he lose it?
He had them for 2 years. And he got caught driving without insurance, literally 8 times. He just kept doing it and doing it and doing it till finally they racked him up with, $3,000 worth of fines, and he ended up not being able to drive for 2 years, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how is your progress with high school going and getting your diploma?
I actually got my GED, and I'm beginning college fall quarter.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
That is really great news.
Yeah.
Daniel, I have a question about your relationship with your mom. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the show, described that you guys were, fighting a lot and having a difficult time, and that your grandmother stepped in and said that, I'm going to take her away and to make things a little bit better. But when on the show, the way we see your mom is that she seems really concerned. She seems really calm, really supportive and stable. And so what I kept feeling I didn't really see. And by the way, I didn't see you as some, party girl or anything either. Obviously, the show starts and you're already pregnant. But I just didn't get that feel from you. What's the real deal? I mean, how is it? Is it that your mom and when they were on camera, everything was just they just were different people and they were different, before or what?
Well, the thing with me is I'm very mellow. I'm not a hyper outgoing kind of girl.
Yeah.
So on the show, I look a mellow, not hyper kind of girl. I'm boring because I mean, that's the kind of girl I am only until I'm around my friends, people that I know. Then I act like me. But on the show, that's just how I am. I'm really mellow. I'm just not that outgoing type of girl.
Okay.
And as far as my mom, we never really fought on camera.
Right.
I don't know why, because we kind of fight a lot, but we never really fought on camera. I guess when the camera's around, we just never,
things were a little different.
You
felt different, right?
Yeah, it was my mom didn't want to fight with me. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. Like, we never really had any drama on camera, but when the cameras weren't around, we did have drama.
So even you noticed, you're sitting there looking at your mom, and you're thinking, man, normally at this point, she'd be up and yelling and screaming, right? But she's, like, holding back for some reason, right?
Well, my mom's not really a yeller.
Okay.
I'm not really a yeller either. We don't really yell. When we argue, we yell in a talking voice. We don't really get up and, like, yell at each other. And we're kind of like criers. We'd rather cry and just not talk than just yell at each other.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's a good answer. That's what I wanted to find out.
Yeah.
And I just had to ask, just because it sounds like because your mom was 16 and pregnant, it sounded like she ingrained in you how not to get pregnant and not to follow in her footsteps. So by having sex before you were on birth control, didn't you know better, or?
Well, the thing with that is, my mom she would always tell me everything she went through when she got pregnant young, but I always told her, Mom, it's never going to happen to me. Like, I was dumb about it. I didn't really think that it would happen to me, which is really, really dumb. But I never really took it to heart what she told me, because I never thought that would happen to me. I just never thought that would happen. And I actually was on birth control when I lived with my mom.
Yeah.
But when I moved to my grandma's, I ended up not being on it. I ended up quit taking it because I kept forgetting.
Oh.
And then when I went to actually get the birth control is when they made me take a pregnancy test and make sure I wasn't pregnant, because they can't give you birth control if you're pregnant. And that was when I found out I had gotten pregnant.
Okay.
So just a little too late.
Okay, so there was an interruption in the birth control, and it was like,
yeah.
And so that's really okay. Okay, that we didn't know that. That's good info.
And I want to ask you, because we always talk about this each week, how effective this show is in preventing teen pregnancy, and whether the show glamorizes it, and whether girls think that they can get famous by being on a show. What is your take?
Okay. I hear this all the time. I really think that if you get pregnant to be on a TV show, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because you got to think, there's thousands of girls that apply for this show. To go get pregnant just to get that, 2% chance to get on the show, that's really dumb. Like, you're going to have a baby forever. Why go get pregnant just to have your hour-long show? Like, that's all you get. You get your hour-long, that's everything's done, but you're still stuck with the baby.
Very well
put. I don't think people should. I don't know if people are really out there trying to get pregnant on the show, or to be on the show, but if you are, that is just really dumb.
And Danielle,
the application process?
What was that?
Can you tell us about the application process? Like, you said that thousands of girls apply. Like, how did you get chosen to be on the show?
Well, when I applied, I was, 14 weeks pregnant. And my mom actually kept talking to me about it. I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to go apply for the show. There's no way I'm going to get on it. Like, there's tons of girls that apply for the show. Why would they choose me? And she finally got me to do it, and I emailed them on MTV.com and just told them about my mom being pregnant when she was my age, and I just told them about what I was going through and everything, and they called me back, a couple days later, and then they emailed me a questionnaire, and I filled out the questionnaire or whatever and emailed them back, and then they kept calling me, and they wanted, videos of me and my family and everything. Well, I kept ignoring it. I'm just I don't know. I'm not going to do this. I just feel weird. I'm not going to do this. So I just kept ignoring them. Well, they kept calling me back. So I finally sent them the videos, and then it took a little bit longer, maybe a month. And then they called me back and told me that they had chosen me to be on the show.
Wow.
Wow. Why do you think your family was chosen?
Well, my mom got pregnant with me at the age that I got pregnant with Jamie Jr. with my dad named Jamie. And then I got pregnant at my mom at 16, like my mom did with me, with a guy named Jamie.
Oh,
and that's just really weird. Like, that's just really interesting, I think. Like, Jamie isn't even a popular boy name. Like,
right.
it was like, my life is exactly what my mom's was. And so I think they just thought that that was an interesting thing, which they never really talked about that on my show, which is why I didn't.
Right.
So I don't really know why they chose me, because I didn't, like, email them and be like, oh, I have tons of drama in my family, blah, 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 blah.
Another question we were wondering, what we, you know, there's a scene on your episode where you and Jamie are shown going through your budget and trying to see if you can move out, afford to go move out. And Ed here was wondering, well, why do they even, you know, try to build a budget? Don't they get paid good money by MTV? Do you, I don't know if you can tell us, get paid after the show's over, or do you get paid up front, or do you get anything up front, or you just wait till the show's over and then you guys get paid?
I'm not allowed to talk about any financial things. They just told me that before I called in, so I'm sorry. I mean, I wish I could answer that, but I don't want to get in trouble.
It's okay.
No, we don't want you to.
We assume that.
Yeah, no problem. I've got another question here for you, Danielle. Now, kind of a reoccurring theme I saw through the show was, it was really important to you to kind of make a stand and show that, you know what, you can do things without your mom's help, and you can do things, you know, on your own, and not necessarily the same way that your mom says to do it. And so my question is to you, you know, now you're not living with your mom, living with your stepdad, they're divorced, and Jamie's not around. How are you feeling now, and how does the future sort of feel to you? Do you feel like you're really, really on a good, stable road? Are you scared still? What's your feeling now?
Of course I'm afraid, because I'm a young mother. I don't know what my future has in store for me yet. But, I mean, now that I have gotten my GED, I'm about to begin college, I feel more confident about my future.
Good.
I feel way more confident now than I did on the show, like when we were filming. Like, I mean, I was confident, but, I mean, I didn't really have anything going for me. I mean, I didn't really work until the very end of the show. Like, I didn't really have anything going for me. But now, I mean, I do have a lot going for me. So, yeah, I'm confident. I'm pretty sure I can do it on my own.
What are you intending to study and focus on in college?
Radiology.
Okay.
Doing ultrasound.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are you hoping for your relationship with Jamie?
I'm in love with Jamie. I love Jamie. He's my son's father. I always have love for Jamie. And I want to be with him. I want to work it out, because I never had a mom and dad. Like, I never had my real dad and my mom together, and I've always wanted that for my child. But even if me and Jamie don't work out, I want our relationship to be good, because my mom and my real dad, they don't talk, and I hate that. Mm-hmm. So if me and Jamie don't work it out, I want to be able to, like, talk to him as a friend. I want him to be my friend, not my enemy. So.
No, that's...
I have to say, I'm a little surprised he doesn't have that big of a role in Jamie Jr.'s life right now, because on the episode, he seemed pretty vested in it. Like, he had some strong opinions about daycare, and...
Yes, he did.
He just seemed like he wanted to be a part of his life.
Yeah, he was around. Like, then that was like he was a really good dad. But when my mom, or Jamie and my dad, they're having problems. So Jamie got kicked out of my dad's. And so Jamie's back in town with all his friends. So he's now out with his friends all the time. And he's not really caring about nothing but his friends. So it's just causing our relationship to go downhill, and him blaming it on me, because he blames it on me to why he doesn't come around Jamie. He says, I don't want to come around because every time I come around, you're mean to me, which, in my opinion, our relationship should have nothing to do with him and Jamie Jr.'s relationship.
We can understand that. We can understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, talking to you, you sound very mature, and like you're making the best of your situation and handling it well, and I'm really glad that you called in so that our viewers can listen to what happens after the cameras stop rolling, and talk to us about these issues we talk about each week, about is it an effective way of preventing teen pregnancy? So, Danielle, thank you so much for calling in. Yes. And, Ed, Isabel, do you have any final questions?
No, thank you so much, Danielle. You really answered some of our questions that we usually come across every time we watched an episode.
Yeah, and I'd like to say that I'd like to say that the description of mature is exactly what I saw. I feel like you were faced with a really, really difficult situation, and I was very impressed with, you know, when you wanted to plan things and you wanted to try to understand and be ready. And I want to say good job, and, you know, I wish you the best.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
Wish you the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Okay. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything. Thank you.
Okay, bye, Danielle.
Bye.
All right, Mari.
Okay, well, I think that I'm glad that she called in because she answered a lot of those questions that we literally ask every week, you know, about is it effective? Do goals seek out the fame? And so, you know, talking to her was, it made me feel a lot better about the show. And she came off, I think, a lot more mature talking to us just now, and maybe because, you know, the baby is 7 months old now, but she's very confident and mature, and she comes off more so, I think, just now than she did in the episode. What do you guys think?
I'm sorry. I'm still shocked here. How do we feel about her mom being the one pushing her to go ahead and sign up for the show? Here we are always every other week talking about, oh, do we think, 16-year-olds are getting pregnant to get on the show? When in reality, there's some moms out there like, why don't you just join the show and make yourself some money now that you are pregnant?
You know what? I'm hoping and thinking maybe that because her mom was 16 and pregnant and now there's this show that tries to prevent that, that maybe she wanted to do that as an effective means of teaching future generations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe. What do you think?
Well, I would have agreed with you, Mari, but the fact that we just heard from Danielle saying, you know, I don't know why during the show we didn't fight. I think the mom had put this whole front, you know, again, she was embarrassed that her 16-year-old was pregnant and wanted to show the world it wasn't my fault. I really try. And then here we get this side of her. And look at me. I'm trying to be a good mom and trying to be a little supportive. Look, we don't even fight. I'm always on her side. I'm trying to make her see. You know, I love that Ed asked her that. You know, is this really the way you and your mom's relationship is out of cameras? And she kept saying, no, you know what? I don't know why we didn't fight during the show.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. She said, but she did say when the cameras were on us, it seemed like we just didn't fight then.
Right.
And she said, yeah, but normally, she said we would fight when the cameras were not there.
Right. Here we had the mom again.
Yeah.
You know, painting this pretty perfect family. I did my best, and
it worked for me. I'm looking at the mom. I'm thinking that, you know, it's she seemed, you know, so sort of together. You know,
When we're watching the episode, I think I mentioned this to you, Ed. I said, see, this is why girls keep getting pregnant, because parents like her that make it so easy. Everything's gonna be fine. I'm gonna be sitting next to you. You're not gonna know what it's like to be in school and have a baby. I'm gonna be holding the baby for you. Oh, I'll wash the bottles. Oh, you're too tired. I'll get up. You know, that's what I kept thinking the whole time. The mom was like, I'm here for you. Please stay with me.
You think the mom shouldn't be making it that easy?
I think parents shouldn't, you know, let them. I understand they're your kids, and you want the best for them, and you're not just going to throw them out on the streets. But you know, you don't make it easy, as in let me help you and take over. It's just so easy for them to get pregnant again. And, you know, we all go through that. Even at 26, I had my mom helping me, and it felt great when I was staying there. I didn't want to leave. And the minute I left to go back home, it was like, oh my gosh, I want my mom. Because it's so easy. You don't really realize how hard it is to be on your own with your baby without any extra help.
It
sounds like she's pretty much doing it by herself now if she's not living with her mom and she's just living with her stepdad.
Yeah.
And what I have to say I was surprised by was her relationship with Jamie. I think that's pretty unfortunate because during the show, I mean, in the end, yes, she moved back to her mom's house and he stayed at his dad's house. And I thought he was acting selfish about the daycare and they were fighting, but compared to a lot of the other dads I see on the show, he seems like he had promised. So I'm a little taken aback by that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. He seemed like a pretty level-headed baby daddy. Like at the birth, he was right there. He played a solid role there. Now with regard to the daycare, you know, I guess I could see how you could look at it and say he's being selfish, but you know, any father and maybe Danielle was just, you know, kind of looking forward to some time off from being a full-time mom 24/7. That's why daycare seemed okay to her. But, you know, as even myself as a father, I know that I didn't ever want to leave my child with anyone before my child could talk. You know, if something's going to happen, I want my child to be able to tell me what happened. And so it's, you know, the baby was not, baby's just now 7 months old. And so that's what she was telling us, I think, before you came back on.
Well, see, I see what you guys say, you know, oh, he seems so, you know, worried about leaving the child. Yeah, he did. But throughout the show, he never took over and took care of the baby. It was easy to say he's fine because he's with you, which is, I think, the same thing that's going on right now. He may not be around the baby that much because in his head is he's fine. He's with her. Yeah, that's his mom.
Exactly. And it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the immaturity part, you know, on his side.
Right.
Because, yeah, you know what? He goes to work and comes home and, you know, he was sleeping instead of helping with the baby.
And he did threaten, well, I'll just quit my job, because he knew she would not be okay with that. Hello, you're my only income.
Yeah.
You're not quitting your job. But he never said, how about, okay, let's go back to, you know, our first plan and I'll go to work and come home and take over so you can study.
Yeah.
He never said that. He just said, I'll quit my job, knowing well that she would be against that because that was their only income.
Yeah.
So I don't see where the great dad
really
of the year
thought
was here.
Danielle showed her maturity was when she, I asked, how are you guys now or what do you hope for the future? And she said that he claims he doesn't want to come over because I make him feel bad and I yell at him. And I said to him, our relationship should be separate from your relationship with your son.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that showed a lot of maturity for a 16-year-old to say that, and I totally agree with her. That's right.
Yeah, she's mature. She's got maturity all over the place. You know, she really, really is impressive for a 16-year-old. The way she's handling the situation, I think. I do wonder though, like as much as we saw the mom so, you know, so strong about wanting to, you know, have Danielle around and have the baby around, and for us to find out now that not only is she not living with her mom, but she's living with her stepdad.
Yeah, that was the whole act,
you know,
put together by the mom.
I wonder, I should have asked her, are they living in that same house or wherever that they were? And now the mom moved to the grandma's house, which is over by where Jamie is.
Right.
And moved into a one bedroom. And it's just, you know, basically like saying, well, you know what? Why wouldn't she? I don't know. It seems odd to me. She's living with her stepdad. And Mari, one of the things I asked her before you got back on the line was, okay, obviously, your relationship with your stepdad must be good if you're choosing to live with him instead of your mom, since they're divorcing. And she said, no, not really. It's just because my mom moved in with my grandma, and it's a tiny place.
Right.
You know, so that's pretty interesting.
You know, I really felt bad for the mom in the show, and I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, so I didn't think that she was. I thought she made weird comments, but I didn't think that she was wanting the world to think she was a good mom and doing these things out of selfish reasons. But now that we hear all this, that she's the one who told her to apply, they didn't fight on camera, but they did off, and that now that the cameras are no longer rolling, they're not living together, it makes me wonder.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. I wonder what in the world is really going on there. What is going on? I don't know.
So do we want to go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk about news and gossip? Sure.
Let's do it. Are we ready, Phil?
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
your husband or your best friend.
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, Teen Mom stars Caitlin, Sarah, Amber, and Macy all appeared in a What We Should Have Done That Night series of teen pregnancy PSAs produced by MTV and It'sYourSexLife.com. The four PSAs are titled What We Should Have Done That Night, If I Knew Then What I Know Now, Timing Is Everything, and What I Could Have Done With My Senior Year. Their answers range from saying things that they should have kept it to cuddling to wishing they'd used protection. And the most powerful response came from Macy, who said, I love Bentley, but I would not wish a teen pregnancy on anyone. So what do you guys think of this PSA campaign?
What do you think, Isabel?
Well, keep trying. I mean,
keep it at cuddling.
Keep it. That's a good. That should be a banner.
Yeah, keep it at cuddling. So I think the answer is, if it's gonna prevent the unwanted, unsupportable babies, I guess we, the unplanned babies, we like it. Cuddle.
Cuddle. I don't know about cuddling. There's a lot of touching there too.
Cuddle all day long. Last week's episode stars Jamie and Ryan. You guys remember them. Ryan cheated on her. Anyways, apparently they're very well known with the local police department. The couple have racked up 4 arrests between them in the past year alone. Apparently Jamie is being cited for simple assault in January, and she allegedly was involved in an incident where she attacked a female classmate.
Wow.
And she seems so calm on the show, so I'm wondering if this female classmate was maybe the girl he cheated with. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like that's in her character.
Oh, man, the girl from last week?
Yeah.
Wow. Man, she really seemed level-headed. Okay, go ahead.
I know, and even more disappointing than that, though not surprising, is Ryan's track record is even worse. He was arrested in November for assault on a female, not Jamie, but another female. He was also arrested in July for cocaine and marijuana possession. He was cited in August for underage drinking, and he's expected to return to court later this month to answer to various charges.
Wow. Okay, he's taking it to a new level then, because we already knew that he was in trouble with underage drinking and partying and all that, but now he's taking it to another level. That's wow. Unfortunate.
Yeah.
And you know, Ed, I'm not saying you were defending him last episode, but you were discussing, you know, his custody rights as a father. But they're in court right now. Jamie is pleading with a judge to gain sole custody of their daughter, and she's claiming to the judge that he has a cocaine problem.
So I'm wondering, do you change your...
No, it's exactly the same. What happens now, though, is that the court will
Can we turn off Ed's microphone?
In this case, the court would simply address the drug issue and say that you cannot be under the influence of any drugs or any alcohol or anything like that. And then, like I said, the court offers things like supervised visitation. So I don't defend any of his behavior or his choices, but I do defend his rights as a father. Every day, all day long.
I'm going to interrupt you guys real quick. We have a caller on the line. Hopefully, he is here to argue with Ed. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Isn't everybody?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Who is on the line? Who, what's your name, caller?
My name's Richie. How you doing?
Oh, how you doing, Richie?
Good. Are you guys talking about the real world?
This is 16 and pregnant. It is MTV, so you're close.
Close to the real world.
I wanted to call. I don't know if you could help us out, but my buddy runs a radio show of his own. Leroy from Real World is going to be on tomorrow night taking people's questions. We'd love for you guys to call in.
I see.
Well,
that's like a double reverse plug there.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll be hosting the Real World After Show in 35 minutes. So call back in 35 minutes.
Okay, I will.
All right, okay, that was Richie, right? Okay, thanks a lot, man.
And
the power of live television and live audio podcast.
I gotta say, on Vampire Diaries, we had a caller who she thought she was checking her voicemail, and oh boy, was she embarrassed!
No way.
That is hysterical.
Yes,
that is hysterical.
Now the funnier part was she kept calling back. And I wanted to pick after the 10th time. I really wanted to pick up, and like, you seriously, you keep dialing the same number. What is your voicemail number?
Well, maybe she was doing coke as well.
Uh oh.
Oh, low blow. Okay, so let's get back into our final piece of news and gossip, which now talking to Danielle, I kind of see this point, but creator Lauren Dolgan, she told CNN, okay, so I'm going to list off a couple of statistics. Apparently, the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy found that among teens who watched 16 and Pregnant, 82% believe the show helps teens better understand the challenges of teen pregnancy and how to avoid it. According to a recent study by the Internet Sexuality Information Services, many respondents cited the impact that TV has on educating them about sex. In particular, they cited 16 and Pregnant as a positive influence. And Lauren, the creator, said, though there is still much work to be done, recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds that teen birth rates in the U.S. is at a record low. And so that was her defense of this show.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm going to say I think MTV does help a little. If I would have watched the show, I think I would have waited. And I planned my kid. If I would have watched the show and seen all these babies waking up at odd hours, I would have been like, no, I'm waiting another year.
I think a good way for us to kind of test ourselves with something like this is to say, hey, if we had a daughter or if we had a niece or a friend who had a daughter, would we say, you know what, would we recommend, hey, your daughter needs to watch this show? And I did that just today. So I think that means that I believe it is a good PSA, because I told a friend of mine, say, hey, your daughter is, you know, she's going to be like 12, 13 soon, and if the world's getting crazy, she needs to watch the show.
And then listen to you on AfterBuzz TV.
And then listen on AfterBuzz.
And call it.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's it for our news and gossip. Let's get into a prediction before we close up the show.
And prediction. Now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
What are we predicting?
So, what I could gather for next week, I think that we're going to be facing a very similar issue with the 16 and pregnant mothers struggling about where to live, which parent's house to live at, and where to move in. So we'll be talking about that issue once again.
Yeah, my prediction, we have a crier on the next episode. Every scene they show today, she was crying.
So oh, I didn't wait for the preview. Remember? Okay, oh, so you guys didn't. I didn't see the preview. I didn't wait for it.
Okay, Ed was snorting coke, I guess, sir.
Would you please refrain?
Okay, and let's hope that we can get next week's teen mom to call in as well, because I think that was very informative. And yes. I think the most interesting part is once the cameras stop rolling, where they end up. So thank you very much, Ed and Isabel, for joining me. And Danielle,
you,
if you're listening, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. And I want to thank you, Mari, for getting us
Good
Danielle.
Job.
Yes, for your tweeting.
Excellent work.
Yes.
The power of Twitter. That's how we got Danielle. Yes. We tweeted at her and she called.
Yes. And I want to give a quick plug for those of you who are Idol fans. We will have Tim Urban, who was a top 7 finalist in season 9, in studio tonight.
Whoa, awesome. Oh, wait.
Are we invited?
No, you're not invited. I have a prediction that I forgot to give. My prediction is that people are going to disagree with me again.
All right. Well, that's probably good. That's not necessarily a prediction. That's a certainty.
Phil, just unplug. Unplug.
I'm going to defend the father. I didn't even defend Jamie as much as I wanted to this time. But, you know, whatever. We'll talk about it later.
Take us out of here, Mari.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That's your AfterBuzz TV for 16 and Pregnant for Danielle. And join us next week. Thank you so much.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.